you, Deputy Director DeWalt. We appreciate those comments. I think everybody on the panel agrees with that, and we thank the hardworking men and women of CPW. With that, and I just want to acknowledge for the record that Speaker McCluskey has joined us. I'm going to take a little bit of Chair's prerogative, as well as the entirety of the wolf reintroduction effort and depredations thus far have incurred within my Senate district that I'm honored to represent. So I have a couple questions, and then I'll be willing to pass it on to others who have been impacted by this in their communities as well. As you know, constituents of mine and of the speakers, the Middle Park Stock Growers led an effort to bring a petition to the Colorado Parks and Wildlife Commission over the last few months, asking for rulemaking on some of the conflict minimization tactics that you went over. That petition was rejected last week on a 1-10 vote, which has upset a lot of people, of course, but I do want to acknowledge that CPW committed to the seven items within that petition, or the seven requests within that petition, to be done as soon as possible. I think it would have been my preference as their senator and everybody who was involved in that process to actually have those in place and completed or done before new wolves are coming to Colorado. But that did, of course, appears not to be happening. But Mr. DeWalt, I wanted to give you the opportunity to go through or I want to go through each of these seven, and you can give a status update of the progress on that. So the first one, the development of the state range rider program, we've heard from CDA earlier today. When will those range riders be employed? When will their employment contracts be signed? And will they be on the ground as soon as possible and ahead of calving season when these depredations may occur? And we can dialogue for the record.
Okay, thank you for that. So yeah, appreciate the question on the range rider program. We're currently in the process of hiring up to 12 range riders for the Colorado range rider program. Our intent is to have up to four of those hired immediately. We're doing interviews at the end of this week and at the end of next week. And we are preparing to have those people on the ground in preparation for calving and lambing season. As the spring progresses, we'll hire the other eight as soon as possible and to support our livestock producers and continue to reduce the potential for predator conflicts. Our intent is to have those people in place, we'll have two riders per county in Jackson, Grand, Route, Eagle, Garfield, Pitkin, Summit, Rio Blanco, and Moffitt counties. And so although those riders will be based primarily in the county, they will be able to move between counties. And so we have put out the request or the application. I think it's of interest that we've had over 100 people apply to express interest in that range riding program. And I think it's also important to note that range riders are most effective on the range. There's other techniques when cattle and lambs are in the calving or lambing pastures, things as turboflagry, guardian dogs, and things like that. And so really ramping up and adding those additional range riders when cattle and lambs or sheep are on the range is what's really important. And so we will have that full complement of range riders by range season. We are also hosting, in partnership with CDA, a range rider training on January 30th for up to 100 individuals to be trained in range riding techniques. And then there'll be a more in-depth four-day range riding program in April, so that those 12 range riders can really spend 4 days understanding all aspects of being on the range. Very comprehensive class, and we're bringing in outside experts to help us with that. CDA and CPW are doing that collaboratively.
Thank you. The next one, the development of a depredation response operations team. Director Gibbs commented that you're seeking 5 FTE. When are those 5 FTE going to be employed and doing that work?
Yeah, thank you for that. They're in the process of being hired now. That those job announcements were sent out in December, and so we're going through that process now. That will be in addition to
they will be hired and on the ground prior to the spring.
Yes, and that's in addition to the 5 that we already have. So that will bring us up to 10 damage specialists. Okay.
The non-lethal conflict techniques, increasing the funding and support for ranchers and landowners to put in place those. What's the status of that?
Can you explain that again just a little bit before?
One of the seven items that CPW committed to last week is increasing support with non-lethal conflict techniques.
Yes, and we continue to do that, and that's with the addition of that staff. We did send 15 staff to Oregon and Idaho for in-depth training on non-lethal techniques as well as depredation response, and so we continue to add to our arsenal of options for producers and people on the range. And I think it's important to note that our district wildlife managers, which there's 260 of them, are also being trained in this and can also respond to wolf conflicts as they do with bear and lion and elk conflicts or other wildlife conflicts.
The site assessment program is CPW's intention to expand this and make sure that everybody that could be impacted by wolves gets a site assessment.
Yes, exactly. That program has been in place since May of 23, and we've recently just revamped it, created more precise documents for producers to fill out and request those. I have numbers here. To date, we've had 61 requests for site assessments to be done, and we have contacted 59 of those individuals, and 42 of those have been completed in Jackson, Route, and Grand counties. That's really key to the success of this program, is to have those site assessments done to make sure producers, landowners know what can be done to protect their herds and their livestock.
And have these wolves that are about to be released or are being released in Colorado as we speak, have the neighboring landowners to those locations had site assessments?
I don't know that specifically, but I can get that information for you. But we have done a comprehensive group of meetings, and CDA referred to it as well, those nine producer meetings. We've had great turnouts, and we specifically held those in those affected counties of Pitkin, Eagle, and Garfield.
Okay. And then collaboration with ranchers on carcass removal. What is the plan to increase that?
Yes, thank you for that. And the CDA is the lead for carcass disposal per our MOU, and I think Commissioner Greenberg updated that as well. But for CDA and some of the things that we're working on collectively is there's been a best management practices document created for producers, and to date there have been six carcass management projects that have been funded through the CDA grant program. Really an expanding program and something I think there's potential for a lot of growth there.
And then the sixth one is a development of a communication plan consults with local officials. I think we're going to have other questions about that from my colleagues. So I just go to the seventh one, definition of chronic depredation. The state put out a document around Christmas with the first version of the state's chronic depredation definition. As you can imagine, there was a lot of consternation about that and that it was almost impossible to achieve a definition of chronic depredation, and it was not fully supported by the ranching voices on the ad hoc group that was tasked with coming up with that. Is there a commitment from CPW to revisit the definition of chronic depredation and to make it more realistic to what's happening on the ground and allowing for lethal management when necessary?
Yes, thank you for that. And yes, absolutely. I think we need to have this first year under our belt to see if the definition meets the demands that we see out there. That was developed over the summer and fall with our ad hoc group, which were both members of the livestock community and then what you would call the advocate community. So there was a lot of compromise in there. And we have heard some, you know, that it's too high, too low. We're trying to hit that sweet spot. And I think time will tell whether we have done that or not. And we do have that commitment. And Director Davis sends his apologies. He can't be here, but he has made that commitment as well. Okay.
And then my final question for now on this topic is about compensation. It came up earlier in the CDA conversation, but Proposition 114, as narrowly approved by the voters, guarantees compensation to livestock owners for their losses. The speakers, constituents, and I, and some in Rep. Lukin's districts as well, have filed compensation claims after 1 year of wolves that goes well above the amount that the CPW told the state that they needed for compensation, which was $350,000 a year. We're looking at almost double that amount at this point. I think we are going to have a very difficult conversation if CPW reduces the amount that those producers have requested. So I'm two-part question. What is the realistic possibility that those claims get reduced. If they do, what is the plan of explaining to those producers that they did not fill out accurate claims? And two, if the amount goes above $350,000 a year, and that's with just seven live wolves on the landscape, 10 to 15 more about to be brought in, 10 to 15 more next year, and then they all have offspring. I mean, it doesn't seem like $350,000 is even close to adequate anymore. So what is the plan from the department?
Yeah, thank you for that. And please remind me if I forget some of the questions you asked. There were three large claims that totaled over $600,000 that have been submitted. We're currently in the process of analyzing those claims and going through them to see accuracy and working with the producers to make sure we fully understand them. We are also working with experts from CSU to make sure that we understand what has been claimed, why, those type of things. Livestock production is really not CPW's business, so we're bringing in outside help to do that. We do anticipate, working through those claims and presenting them to the Parks and Wildlife Commission, which is under their authority to approve claims that big. But we do feel confident that even though that the claims are so large, we will live up to our commitments, find other funding within our wolf money to pay for that, and then continue to work on that. I do think a collaborative conversations with producers going forward is really important to make sure that those claims are good for everybody and that we totally understand the losses. And they totally understand what we can pay for and those type of things. I'm not saying that that's not occurring now, but we do have a commitment there, and I think CPW will honor that commitment.
Okay. Representative Lukens.